Let's go for it, guys. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1. Genesis 17, verse 1. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abraham, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, As for you, you shall keep my covenant and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. He who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Then God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, No, Sarah your wife shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him. I will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you this set time next year. Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. So Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all who were born in his house, and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very same day, as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, and Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. At that very same day Abraham was circumcised and his son Ishmael, and all the men of his house, born in the house or bought with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. Then we're going to read chapter 18 and just down to verse 15. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when they saw him, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, My Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that you may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant. They said, Do as you have said. Now it's thought that these three visitors One of them, it's thought, was the Lord himself coming in a pre-incarnate form, and two accompanying angels. That's what scholars think. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quickly, make ready measures of fine meal. Knead it and make cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Then they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" So he said, "Here in the tent." And he said, "I certainly will return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife." And behold, Sarah, your wife. Where am I? I've lost the verse. Thank you. "Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being also old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh, but for she was afraid." And he said, "No, but you did laugh." And then lastly, we're going to look at chapter 21, verses 1 to 7. "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, 'God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me.' She also said, 'Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age.'" And the name Isaac means he laughs. So it's a wild story. I'm just going to briefly bring out 3 points from this passage. The first point is this: God is interested in us as people, in our identity. He was interested in Abraham, and he wanted Abraham to realize his true identity. Now, I'm going to give you a list of famous people who've changed their names in order to be famous. And what I want you to do is tell me what their real names are. Okay, first one, Harry Roger Webb. Very good. Cliff Richard. George Allen O'Dowd. Boy George, very good. You're good. Stephanie Joanne Angelina Germanotta. Germanotta. Sorry? You'd think that, but it's not. Stephanie Joanne Angelina Germanotta. Lady Gaga, yes, very good. Well done. Peter Jean Hernandez. Peter Jean Hernandez. The young people are more likely to know this one. He does some funky songs. It's not Peter Andre. No. Bruno Mars. Yeah. Okay, here's another one you may get. Nicholas Kim Coppola. An actor. Nicholas Cage, yes. Reginald Kenneth Dwight. Elton John it is. God, you're good, David. Pub quiz. Paul Hewson. Paul Hewson. Bono, yes. Wow. David Robert Jones. David Bowie it is. this is mad. Farrokh Bulsara. Yes, it is Freddie Mercury. Well done. Karen Elaine Johnson. Karen Elaine Johnson. It's Whoopi Goldberg. Demetria Jean Guines. G-U-Y-N-E-S. Guines. Demetria Jean Guines. It's Demi Moore. Marion Morrison. John Wayne, yes. Alan Konigsberg. The clue isn't a first name. Alan, A-double-L-E-N. Alan Konigsberg. Berg. Sorry? No, it's a comedian. No, it's... I think it's a Jewish name here. It's Woody Allen. Okay, and last one then. Georgios Panayiotou. Yeah, George Michael. Yeah. Careless Whisper. Well done, guys. That's impressive. You know, sometimes people change their identity in order to connect with others. And we can do the same sometimes, can't we? We can wear masks. If we're honest, we can put on a mask to try and impress someone else, try and be something that we think they want us to be in order to connect with them, in order to make them accept us, to love us. And for Abraham, his name was Abraham before, and God wanted to change his identity. For him to be the real Abraham, not to be anybody else, but to be himself, not to try and be in someone else's shadow. And the name Abraham means exalted father. It was a common name around the time, Abiram. It's a variation of Abiram, which is a Western Semitic name. And so he had quite a normal sort of name. But his name reflected his father. His father was, what was his dad's name, do you remember? Begins with a T. Terah. Yeah, Terah. And according to Joshua, in the book of Joshua, it says that Terah was an idol worshipper. And so he lived in his dad's shadow of this exalted father. And it would have meant, basically, that his dad had a bit of status in society. But what status in society means to society, it doesn't necessarily mean the same status before God, does it? Because at the end of the day, it's spiritual significance that is worth something before God. And God really wanted Abraham not to be in his father's shadow, but to be himself, to be the person that God had always intended him to be, had created him to be. And it may be that you have got a background where maybe you've been in someone else's shadow. It might be your father, it might be your mother, it might be a sibling. You know, they were better at school than you, perhaps, or they were the favorite or whatever. They had a great singing voice or whatever. It could be that you're jealous of me and my amazing skills on the guitar. You know, I don't know. I don't know what it is. But we can always compare ourselves to someone else that is better than us at something, better looking, less wrinkly than us maybe. I wish I was that person. And God wants you to be you. You're the best person at being you that there is. He's given you unique gifts, unique abilities. He wants you to know your true identity in him. And this was what he wanted Abraham to do, to come into his true identity. So God changed his name to really show him who he really was. And I really think it's as we get closer to God, as we come into closer relationship with him, we realize who God has made us to be. We realize who we really are, who God has made us. In the same way, Sarah as well came into her true identity. Her name was changed as well, so that she didn't need to be anybody else apart from the person she had been called to be. And the name Sarai changed to Sarah. The name Sarah means princess. God had made her to be a princess. And maybe she didn't think she was a princess. Maybe you're thinking of yourself, you're thinking of yourself this morning, I don't think I'm a princess, or for those men, I don't feel much like a prince, you know. But God thinks you are beautiful. He thinks you are a princess. Or if you're male, he thinks you're a prince. You know, he thinks you're absolutely wonderful. You're the person that he's created you to be. And sometimes we can hate our bodies and try and change ourselves. But God wants us to rejoice in being us, being everything that he's made us to be. And the sooner we realize that, the more happy we're going to be in life, but also the quicker we're going to fulfill the things that God has called us to do. And so Abraham, the name Abraham means father of a multitude or a father of a people. So rather than his name reflecting backwards to his dad, his name instead would reflect forwards to his destiny, to his future. He was going to have significance in and of his own self, in his own right. Not because he was born from someone who was having status, but because he had status himself. God was going to make him multiplied and give him a people. So the name Ham means people, Abraham. And I like to look at it this way. The name Abraham and the name Sarai, none of those names had the letter H in them. If you look at the Hebrew words of their names, there's no letter H in them. Take care, Lauren. Have a great shift. Cheers. Thanks for coming. I don't know. Do you want to just... Are you being picked up, Lauren? Oh, excellent. Smashing. So the name, what's the personal name for God? What's God's personal name in the Old Testament? I am, you could say I am, but there's actually a name. Yeah, Yahweh. Yeah, so Yahweh. In Hebrew, you don't write the vowels, you just write the consonants. So you write a Y, a H, a W, and a H. YHWH, that's God's name. And whoever reads the Hebrew adds the vowels to that. So it's a Y, an H, a W, and an H. There's two H's there. So what God does as a beautiful love gift is he takes two of the letters of his own name, the two H's, he gives one to Sarah, H on the end, and he gives one to Abraham. So he makes a beautiful covenant with both of them. He takes of his own name, a bit like when you get married and you change your name because you've got married, because you've made a covenant with that person. God does the same thing. He takes Sarai and he takes Abraham, and he does something amazing. He puts himself in them, changes their name, and makes them who they really are. And it says we connect with God, we become the people that God has meant us to be. And we go up to that next level that Dave has been talking about this morning, both as individuals and as a church. So that's the first point I really wanted to make, is about identity. God wants you to know your true identity in him. And sometimes people say, I'm a born loser. Oh, I'm a born loser. In fact, when I first became a Christian, there was a lady who led us to the Lord, me and my mate, Dean Turner. And one day, I think she said, oh, I'm a born loser. Something went wrong, and she had an accident or something, and she said, oh, I'm a born loser. And then Dean said to her, no, miss, you're not a born loser. You're a born winner, because when the sperms were swimming in that great big race of life, you're the sperm that got to the egg and fertilized it, you know. You did it. You're a born winner. And we can see ourselves sometimes as just born losers and be negative on ourselves, but God actually wants us to see ourselves as born winners. And in him, he's made us victorious. It says in Revelations 2, verse 17, he who has an ear, let him hear what he says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on that stone a new name written, which no man knows except him who receives it. Revelation 2, 17. In ancient Greece, if you were acquitted by a jury, you were given a white stone. But if you were guilty, you were given a black stone.
Guilty.
But more importantly, the Romans, when they had the Olympic Games, because the Romans carried it on from the Greeks, when someone was a winner in the Olympic Games, they would give them a white stone with their name inscribed on it. I didn't know that until yesterday. But so it's like God saying, I'm going to make you a winner, even if you don't see yourself as a winner. When you come to Christ, you are a new creation. You've got a new identity. The old has gone, the new has come. And he wants us to actually pursue the things that he's called us to, not be down on ourselves. When Satan tries to put those tapes in our minds that are negative and putting ourselves down. He wants us to just take those tapes out, smash them up, and instead believe God's word about us, that we are the people that he wants us to be, and to be stepping into that. We bear the name of Christ. We are Christians. What an honor to bear his name. We're not the same as we used to be. We're different. So identity is the first point. The second point is responsibility. It's no good just having knowing your identity, knowing who you are. It's not going to help someone else unless you actually do something. So the next thing that Abraham really needed to take up was that responsibility. God was going to make him a father. Not just a father to an individual, Isaac, which was going to be incredible, but he was going to make him a father of a great multitude, a great nation. In fact, many nations would come from him. And we know that both the Jews and the Arabs descend from Abraham. They both call Abraham their father. And also, when you think about it, as Christians, we are Abraham's sons and daughters by faith, because he had that same faith of trusting in God for salvation. And we have that same faith. So in the New Testament, we're called sons of Abraham, or sons and daughters of Abraham. And I'm just thinking about our present situation as church and being responsible for those around us. I really think that we are coming to a new phase. As Dave was saying about going up to a new level, God is going to stretch us. There's going to be a lot happening in a very short period of time. In fact, we went out to tender on Friday, which basically means that we go out to different contractors and we say, this is the project, send us your offers and send us what your proposals are of what you can do it for. So we're waiting to hear from them. And that's a four-week period of time. So it may need to be extended because we're also having some mechanical and electrical engineering drawings added on as well. It's going to be an amazing time, really. Very exciting. So do pray for it. But it's going to be a time of stretching when a lot of things are going to be happening. And when we step into our identity as Christians, just as Abraham had, we're going to have extra responsibilities. God is going to give us that heart to be fathers to the fatherless, to be mothers to the motherless. And that's a stretching process. You know, we're called to make disciples of all nations, and we can only really do that if we have that same parental heart. When you're raising your children, it's a big responsibility. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation where you've been doing something completely new and it suddenly hit you, oh, the awesomeness of the responsibility. And we were a bit like that when we were carrying our first child out of the hospital. It says as you put them into the car, you think, okay, we left the hospital now. Now we're responsible for this life, you know. And in the same way, God has given us a responsibility for those that he's placed us around, for neighbours, for those we meet in work, for those in our vicinity, those in our area. That responsibility to tell them about Jesus, that responsibility to be a Christian towards them and to basically love them as God would love them, and to be a witness. And as we take that on board more and more, God will enable us, he'll empower us to do everything he's called us to. We're going to see incredible things happening. And that's a fearful thing at times. And you may be thinking, oh, I don't know if I can do this. Maybe you're facing a new situation and you're panicking about it. Think, oh, God is going to be with you. Just as I read that scripture out earlier on, whatever your situation is, sometimes Satan can get in there and say, ah, you've gone too far this time. God's not going to be with you in this. In the new, God is going to be with you. And doing something for the first time, it's a faith stretch, just as Abraham and Sarah, or Sarai, were having their faith stretched. So God is going to stretch us. A key to parenthood is serving and putting the other person first. It takes a real dedicated heart to be a good parent and to put your children first in situations. Like Dave was saying about going out and spending all that time with his grandson, you know, it's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice that bears great fruit because you see the beauty in their lives bearing lovely fruit back. But there is a sacrifice involved, and he's calling us, I think, as church, to move from a consumer mentality to a provider mentality, and that's the shift between being a child and being an adult. It's that call to each one of us to step up to maturity and to start to take our responsibilities seriously. Sometimes I suppose we could come to church and think, oh, the worship, you know, did that really minister to me today? We can have that mentality, that's a consumer mentality, thinking, oh, the worship wasn't very good today, or that sermon wasn't the best sort of thing, it didn't really speak to me. That's a consumer speaking. But someone who's a provider gets involved in the worship, thinks, okay, what can I bring into the mix here? Like we did this morning, it was wonderful to see so many people bring in their contributions to God. And more, God's going to be encouraging us, I think, to step up to being a provider rather than a consumer. That means being a father, being a mother. And it says at the end of Malachi that God would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. And when God is doing a great move, when there's revival happening, there is that sense of responsibility that people have a heart for those around. And, you know, Wales is called the land of my fathers, but there aren't that many fathers around. Many people are hurting, they're in pain because they're longing for that father figure. And God, I think, has given us an anointing as Christians to be both spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers to people's situations, and people are crying out for that in the land. He's called us to that as a church, I really do believe. When the building project is finished in terms of the construction period, we're going to need people to be volunteering. And I'll give you a little overview of some of the areas. One of the areas is the CAP money course. We've already trained 4 people up in that, and we're already actually getting our teeth into taking a few people through that. But what we're going to hopefully do is do a bigger course when the building is up and running, and we'd like as many people as possible to do this budgeting course, and also to spread the word, to tell others about this course that we're running. That would be really, really good. We're going to be doing a CAP job club, and we actually need someone who is prepared to help run the job club. Do have a think. Think, you know, could I do that? Is that something I could do? We're going to obviously have like rooms with computers in and stuff like that in the building. We're going to have the resources, but we do need the people. And then we're going to need people to make drinks for those who come on that club and to help run the club. The other thing is a food bank. We're hoping to open a couple of hours a couple of times a week. So probably Monday and Friday mornings for 2 hours on those 2 mornings. And we're going to need 4 or 5 volunteers for that. It's a simple thing to do, and you have a couple of people there welcoming and making teas and coffees for those who arrive. And then we have a couple of packers as well, packing the food for people. And we'll have a room dedicated to storing tins of things in the building. And that'll be dedicated to the food bank. One last thing that we would like to do, I don't know if we're going to be able to do this or not, but it would be good if we could. There is no debt centre in Blaenau Gwent. You think about the poverty in Blaenau Gwent and the need for people in unmanageable debt. Presently, there is no debt centre in the whole of Blaenau Gwent. So have a think about those areas. Obviously, it's not just those roles. There's going to be other things that we can be involved in the building. But I just wanted to put those to you to be thinking ahead and let us know if there's anything you're particularly interested in, then we'd love to know about that. The last thing we've said about identity, we've said about responsibility. The last thing that I really think this passage shows us is that God rewards those who diligently seek him. So there was a great reward for Sarah and for Abraham because they stepped forwards in faith. They went up that level. They got stretched by God. They were willing to believe God even though it was difficult and even though it seemed impossible. And the result was a great reward. Chapter 21, verse 6. Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. And when we do hear about this story, we do laugh. We think it's so crazy, it's so ridiculous, and yet God still did it. And the name Isaac means he laughs. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you've actually achieved something against all the odds, and all you've done, because it's been so ridiculous that you've managed to achieve it, you've just laughed. Well, that was a situation here. they've done something absolutely impossible, and they laughed. In the same way, you could say, well, hallelujah, God's opened up the floodgates of heaven, £1 million. That's, you know, it's, who would have thought that we'd ever be offered £1 million to serve this community? It's a great, it's unbelievable in one way, but in another sense, it is believable. But it does make, it brings that joy, that sense of hallelujah, yes. Laughing, but also that sense, it's a dual thing. It's that sense of reward, that sense of like laughter, but also that last point of responsibility as well. It's like, so it's almost like laughter and fear at the same time. I really think God wants to do something amazing in our day, in our time. And when people hear about it, they will laugh with joy. When God moves, we're going to see more than just the provision of finances. We're going to see people being set free. We're going to see lives transformed. And that's going to bring great, great joy. God has called us to be part of this. Yes, there is sacrifice involved. He is stretching us, but there's a reward for it. And it's all going to be so much worth it. When we see the lives transformed, we're going to think, well, what has I even bothered about that extra bit of commitment for? Because it was so much worth it to see this person's life turned around and transformed. This is what God's called us, each one of us, to see lives changed, to see his great commission really happening, and to serve those around us. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." We're going to see great rewards here on earth for the hard work we put in, but we're going to see some even greater rewards in heaven. You know, people can spend a lot of time, a lot of energy trying to achieve a certain goal in life, trying to make lots of money or whatever it is, and they get their reward here on earth. But there's some rewards that God will give us in heaven. It's those changed, transformed lives. It's sowing ourselves, having that parental longing to help other people that God wants us to have, that heart to see others going further than we've gone. As we take that on board, there's going to be riches in heaven, glories in heaven, and nothing can take those rewards away from us. So let's go for it with everything within us. We're going to have we will put out a list at some point of all the different jobs that are going to be needing to be doing. I haven't arranged it for this morning, but I will let you know, and maybe we'll have like a sign-up thing to actually say about things that we're interested in helping out with. That would be amazing if we could do that. But Alpha courses, we'll have all sorts of courses running there. And not just us, it's not us doing all the work. There's going to be others, like Communities First, doing all sorts of groups in the building. And we're just there to facilitate that, to support that happening, and to see many people being blessed by the use of the building. I wonder if we can just finish in prayer and just give ourselves to God and pray that he would use us more and more and bring us on to that next level. Father, we want to thank you for moving in this place this morning. Thank you for one another, for the fact that you've made us a body. Thank you for the freedom that's been here this morning as we've been sharing our gifts that you've given to each one of us. Lord, let us just continue in that vein to be sharing the things that you've placed within our hearts. Lord, we do pray for one another, Lord, with this whole aspect of identity. Thank you that you've called us to be us. And Lord, I pray this morning for anyone that's just struggling with being themselves. Maybe they're condemning themselves for whatever. Lord, I just pray against condemnation in Jesus' name for each one of us, that we'd step into that freedom of the sons and the daughters of God. Thank you that each one of us is precious. You're our Heavenly Father. You'll never leave us or forsake us. Help us to see ourselves as you see us, Lord. We come against all the lies of the evil one. And instead, Lord, we choose to believe your word about who we are. Lord, if there's any pain, any of us, Lord, from our upbringings, Lord, from school times, from bullying, Lord, from being jealous of others, or being picked on, or just never quite meeting the mark, Father. Lord, you understand about that. And I pray, Jesus, this morning, that you would touch lives. Father, you would touch lives and take out that rotten core, Lord, that Satan has tried to put in there. Transform us from the inside out, Lord. We surrender to you, Holy Spirit, this morning. Come, Lord, by your Spirit, set people free this morning. Lord, give us that mindset, the way of thinking about ourselves as you think about ourselves. Help us to take the masks off, Lord. When we're in situations where we're tempted to put that mask back on, just help us to be bold and to be ourselves. Lord, we do pray for any fears this morning that we're in, Lord, anything that we've got to take on, anything new that we're worried about. Thank you that you're going to walk with us in all situations, Lord. And we trust you for that. Thank you for stretching this couple that we've learned about this morning, Lord. Thank you, you're going to stretch us. But Lord, we pray against fear, and we pray instead for the peace of God, which passes all understanding, to fill us. Fill us with your peace, Lord. More, Lord. More of you. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we want to thank you for that reward. Lord, if any of us has grown weary, grown tired of work, and we're just at that point of breaking, and think, oh, I can't do another thing. Lord, we pray for your refreshing to come now. That thought of the reward coming, that spurs us on, Lord. Spur us on, Father. Give us your refreshing this morning. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, you give your children good gifts. Hallelujah. Fraser's got something he wants to share.
Yeah, just on the lines of identity, when Adam and Eve were created, God covered them with his glory. It was like his very presence covered them, and they were naked and unashamed. They weren't aware of their nakedness. And of course, when the sin happened, it popped off them, I suppose, because sin was in the life, the glory couldn't be on them. And they became aware of the nakedness. And then they put together fig leaves to cover their shame. It wasn't enough. It's only a little thing like that. But God then killed an animal and he gave them sort of garments. However, throughout history, because this sin has naturally carried on through history, we're born at some point, we realize there's a shame in us, that we're uncovered, that we're spiritually, that we're naked. And people tried to cover that nakedness with their own spiritual fig leaves. And those fig leaves could be wealth, image. You know, for me, it was about being a great saxophonist. For some, they changed the name, like Stuart said. And it's all about creating this persona, false persona, a fig leaf to cover the thing that's naked in them. They feel that there's something naked and they don't know what it is, but they've got to cover it. But when you're born again, and we are born again, God has taken our shame away and put on Christ. So he took the shame, that we were clothed with shame because of the sin, and he clothed Christ. And Christ took all of our shame, potentially. So we received that, and God then gave us, we gave him our negativity, our minus to plus, and God gave us the glory, the restored glory, the garment of glory, which covers our nakedness. And it's that which gives us the true identity. That is our core reality. That's David, and that's Carl, and that's Jenny. But underneath the name that our parents gave us is a son, a daughter, whom God has clothed with his own presence, his glory. And so we don't need to strive anymore.
Thank you, Fraser. Lord, we do pray for that in each one of our lives, Lord, that where we are trying to cover up and trying to be something that we're not, Father, we do pray for that courage just to be the people that you've created us to be. Lord, that does take courage to take off the masks. And Lord, it says you fill us with your Spirit, that you give us boldness to do that. So we pray, Holy Spirit, just continue to work in our lives. This coming week, Lord, as we go out this throughout this week, Father, we pray for that awareness of your presence, of your Spirit. And Lord, just be able to flow with being who we are, being ourselves in you, Lord. Thank you that you're in us and living your life through us. Help us to be all that you've intended us to be, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.